This is part two where we talk about our rants about the Oscars in general, the actual show, the format, as well as the movie industry and where it's going. We get really passionate. So I hope you enjoy. So I'll talk about... let's see. I guess I'll talk about the Oscars in general first. And this is like something that really is important to me because I'm a filmmaker and I really do feel like I'm watching the art form die before my eyes. And I'm just kind of like with my hands like this, like, no, please just take the medicine, please. Because this is like a completely unnecessary death, really, you know. And it has many causes. And I'm not saying that for sure, that that's how things are going to end, because I really do have hope. It's not a completely dire situation. But, you know, we can't keep going on a path like this. And one of the symptoms is having less than half of your audience return the following year for your award ceremony. That's definitely one of the symptoms. And if you are in Hollywood and you don't see that, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, it's right there in front of you. People are not happy with what's going on. And even with the successes in films recently in terms of, you know, let's say Marvel movies, if you just want to look at monetary success and whatnot, even those, you know, I'm not feeling as much energy and excitement over those types of films as I used to, let's say, like 4 or 5 years ago. People are not as excited about these things as they used to be. You have a hardcore fan base, but... honestly, they're starting to become what I thought they would become, which is a cash cow. That if you have no idea why you are making the film that you are making, you just make it because you know you can get butts in seats, eventually that effect is not going to last very long as you stop talking to people's souls and what they need, which is good art. And we have more time and money than ever to spend on art. And here it is, cinema is dying in front of me. It just doesn't really make sense to me. But tirade aside, the other reason why it's extremely personal to me, because I feel like a lot of the problems that we're seeing have to do with outside things that have nothing to do with cinema. So like things that are bleeding into cinema in a way that is not healthy, because anything in terms of ideas and thoughts and whatever, make a film about whatever you want. I don't care. You know, that's not the problem. This kind of ties back into the propaganda thing that we talked about. Was it last episode or was it a few episodes ago? And understanding that when you're making an art piece, you are stepping into a space where you want to be connecting with another human being, even if it's just to have fun with that human being, in terms of like, you know, let's say a blockbuster movie. You know, it's not to force that person to come to their knees and believe what you believe by force of presentation. That's not going to get you anywhere. And if you think film works that way, I also think you're in for a sour future. And I'm part of a Facebook group called Black Filmmakers Group. And for those who are listening on audio, I am black. So that that is why I'm in the Black Filmmakers Group. And the thoughts that are on the Black Filmmakers groups are honestly just no good for Black filmmakers. The culture in that Facebook group, and I'm not saying that's the culture at large, because I know it's not. Definitely the vocal people on that group are definitely not representations of the majority, but those are the kinds of people also who speak the loudest everywhere and make executives think that they are the majority as well. Who make decisions about what movies you see and what you're allowed to say as an actor who's working for a certain film, et cetera, et cetera. So it does trickle from these groups of people who are very, very vocal. And the saddest thing that I see in the Black Filmmakers group is a lot of filmmakers think that they can't do it. And that's a serious problem. They think that there's no way that a Black filmmaker can make a film and come from nothing and make it. And it boggles my mind, because you watch the Oscars, the representation is amazing. You can attach whatever disclaimers as to why that is and why there's still problems, whatever, but you have to recognize that the representation is amazing. it's over representation. Let's be honest with it, you know. Literally, by numbers, if you just look at population percentages and you look at nominations and you look at it, you get overrepresentation. So, but you still have filmmakers, black filmmakers, that still say a lot of terrible things about themselves, about what they're capable of achieving. And I think that is due to those very same black filmmakers who made it far recently. And I'm talking about recent filmmakers. I'm not talking so much as about, like, let's say Spike Lee, or like, let's say older black actors. Like, what are some good examples? Like Will Smith, or like
Samuel Jackson.
Those kinds of people. Those people are not in this category. The people who newly made it there, and they are out for their Twitter following, they will say all kinds of things about the, not saying the industry is not perfect and there is racism in the industry, that those are not my points at all. My point is that you fight used to be the old mentality amongst the black community about making it. You fight to make it despite what problems you may have. You have a whole bunch of people who fought to make it decades ago, who were examples to people like me, who are examples for me to say, this is why I want to do this, or not. This is not why, but this is an example that I'm capable of doing this, right? That's why you wanted representation to begin with. And then once you have the representation, the people who are new on the block are the ones who are telling you the most that you can't do it. It's incredible. And it's really bad for black filmmakers. And it's selfish of these people to portray the industry as worse. I've seen actors say that things are worse than in the 50s in cinema. That cannot be true. That cannot be true. I don't think any sane person. But
on a related topic,
yeah,
my music teacher tried to tell us that black people are always portrayed as the villain in movies, which I could not think of a single black villain after that. Took me a moment.
Oh my gosh. I mean, we're pretending like really stupid things. Like Black Panther was the first superhero movie led by a black person. It's just not true. Like, hey, you rob the older.
That was the exact movie she brought up to say, hey, it's not always like that. Except in that movie, the black person actually is the
It's
a whole study on that movie or whatever. Like, oh yeah, look at that, you know, some African inclusion. I'm like, okay, but if you're talking about the fact that black people being portrayed as villains, and you give us a movie where that is actually the case. Nice.
It's disgusting. And I've watched a lot of older movies with a lot of black stars. I mean, people who are considered legends today. And they are stunning in those movies in terms of their performances. And when those people who actually forged a path for us, you know, in terms of breaking stereotypes and whatnot, stereotypes, I would say, are largely gone. That is just the case. You know, those people were the one who made this situation where they're largely gone. And they get on Twitter and other places. I'm not on Twitter. I use it as a mechanism for me to understand what's going on in the space that I think changes the most in the world. The Twitter sphere, I think, is kind of a good place to understand where things are going. But those are the people who get also essentially canceled on social media. Black, older people who actually went through real discrimination, saying, guys, this is too much. You are stepping on the future generation's ability to cope with reality. And those people, what's a good example? He was great in Glory. And Denzel Washington, yeah. Denzel Washington saying, look, basically, I gave you this, which is his right to say, honestly. I gave you this. And Denzel Washington's a legend. Honestly, amazing whenever you see him on the screen. And you're going to rob him of that? These are the people who are now leading the Oscars in terms of the people who are presenting, the people who are writing the Oscar scripts. The newer generation of black people and also white people in very weird contexts. I would say we were in a very strange time period where white people say very weird things about other minorities. I'll leave it at that. That's why people don't watch. If you think that the drop, that halfing drop, has no minorities in it, you're crazy. You're actually crazy. If you think that drop does not incorporate a lot of minorities who stopped watching as well because they didn't want to be patronized anymore, you're crazy. and that's where we are. We're in a place where we're patronizing minorities in this twisted way where we're saying that we're lifting them up. It's not real. Yeah, so I'll leave that on the representation note. The other part of it is generally, morally speaking, you have a ton of people who live really flawed lives publicly, like very flawed. When I say very flawed, I mean things that I cannot mention without our stream getting taken down, because they're associated with certain people who do things that are trafficking related. I almost said what would get the stream taken down. And they're known to have done so. And they're associated with really bad people, like someone who killed himself, or probably did not, recently. associated with those people, and then they're lecturing us about sexism, bigotry. It's like, no, you don't get to lecture. You are not even you're not a moral authority. You're also are just a person, just like any one of us. You have your problems. We have our problems. When you spend 2 hours just telling people they suck, you need to be better, we're better than you, why does anyone want to tune into that? And the crazy part is that cinema gives you the tools to tell people that they need to be better in the right way, in the way that is not patronizing, in the way that actually inspires. You just ignore the cinema part and say, I've got the stage now, let me just, you know, like, yell at people for 2 or 3 hours. This is killing cinema, because cinema is not about cinema anymore.
Are you saying this is happening during the Oscars or elsewhere?
Yeah, this is happening it's happening everywhere. I mean, a lot of these actors aren't really, they may be really good actors, but they're not actually cinema people. You know, they don't really know what they're talking about when it comes to cinema. They stand in front of a camera, they have really popular Twitter accounts, and they say everything as if they have authority, when it's like, go ahead.
It's probably like a band member, for example. They may not compose music. They may not know why it sounds good. They just do what they're told. They just play the music, you know. And they may be good at doing it, but they don't get like the bigger picture behind them.
And it's okay for them to be particularly good at acting, and like they may feel like they have a good connection to acting as an art form. That's fine. But actors in the tradition of cinema loved cinema as a whole, not just acting.
Well, is that actually something that's like, is it bad to not be like, I'm thinking of like, you know, the band member analogy. Yeah, you know, I think it's fine if you don't actually, you know, if you're not actually musically inclined like that, you know, or care to study music like that.
I think most good musicians, you know, they might not know every detail, like chord progressions, whatever, but they're like invested in the art form itself, even if not in every technical detail. Otherwise, you don't have anything to say, even if you can technically play it, right?
I mean, yeah. Though, in the context where you have a composer for you, like in a band, one person's likely the composer, you know, like say your guitarist is your composer, does the drummer necessarily have to be involved in the music making world, or, you know, like really enjoy that kind of thing, like the theory behind it, to be a good drummer, I guess.
I would say you have to have some sense of, like, even if not like the composition process, of like the process of putting together music. And like, I don't know, I can't think of any, like, what great drummer has not also spent hours and hours listening to other great drummers and other great, you know, sounds, and tried to emulate that. I mean, you even if you're just the drummer, music in your group is going to be pretty stagnant if you're not trying to like get things from other people and you're not like immersed in the world of music.
Gotcha. I see.
Yeah, I would actually say it's pretty much the same in terms of acting too. Like it's, you're not gonna, I mean, I think you can get away with a lot in terms of being completely separated or your degrees of separation, because cinema is a very multifaceted, you know, thing. But like, if you don't understand, like, if you don't have any like draw or love for the craft as a whole, how on earth are you gonna put your heart into your roles? It's hard for me to see.
Do you feel like this is something that has changed over the years?
I think there have always been those people who just act for their job and they like the fame. But I think right now it's at its peak and it's like beyond sustainability. Like, you know, those who are popular and those who are getting roles to begin with.
I'd kind of be interested if there were like historical recordings of, you know, Oscars in the 40s and 50s and like what the difference actually is.
Yeah, that would definitely be interesting. Yeah, I think some of it has to do with the fact that a lot of people start younger and younger over time, and so they never really, they may have grown to love what exactly they're doing, but they never grew up like they never chose really to adopt the whole art form as their own as much. And then you add on to that we're in like sort of an influencer economy, which is not a bad thing at all. I kind of like it. It kind of adds diversity to the way that we get exposed to different things. That's fine. But it comes with a side effect of those with bigger platforms tend to get films more. But then those with bigger platforms have certain personalities, right, that attract those bigger platforms. So, you know, that's on the production side too. People are just going with the higher subscriber count, higher follower count person. We just have to be mindful of all of it as we proceed, as things change. We got to be mindful to preserve the actual, you know, art itself instead of it becoming about everything else, you know, that's not the art. And that's when the art form will die, because nothing depends on it, you know. It depends on everything else. Yeah, I think that sort of summarizes the whole thing. Nomadland is a film by Chloe, I don't know how to say her last name. Is it Zhao? I would guess that's how you say her last name. But she's a Chinese immigrant. She spent a lot of her life abroad, though, in sort of Western spheres. In fact, she, in her biography, her what she says about her own life, she talks about how all her life she was attracted to sort of Western genres of art, more than what she says is a tradition-laden Chinese art scene, which I find interesting. But she's a very interesting person in general. What's not interesting is couching her victory as completely a victory because of her race, which I thought was essentially soft bigotry. Because, like, what are you saying? Because she's Asian, it was hard for her? Because, like I just didn't even know where we're going with this kind of ideology anymore. Because her film was complete Americana. Like, it was, like, the one of the most, like, Americana subjects and, like, people. And this is because she loves the American tradition of cinema. She cites the directors that she loves. They're like very American directors. She cites Terrence Malick, who I consider very Americana. Like, it's just such a strange conversation when she gets up there, she gets her Oscar, she doesn't mention anything about any of that stuff in her acceptance speech. She's just a grateful person, and she's a grateful artist. And it's weird that all we can talk about is not her film, not everything good about her film. We talk about her skin. It's ridiculous. It's got to stop.
The history of the Oscars, I think, is a history of picking the wrong score for best score. or just generally not doing the right thing with the award. The first few years they awarded it, they gave it not to the composer, but to the person who was the head of that studio's music department. So you have people like Korngold, you know, one of the great foundational composers of the golden age of Hollywood, not winning the award because it's given to whoever was the head of, I think, I think MGM music department. So, you know, silly things like that. Like, why would you not give it to the composer?
Yeah.
I don't know. Lots of other really silly picks throughout history. I mean, the only one Star Wars film is one. It's the first Star Wars film. Which, yeah, is a great score, but The Empire Strikes Back did not win, which makes no sense, because to me that is the best film score of all time. How that didn't get picked, I don't know. So, the committee, I don't know what they think most of the time.
Do you know if all of the Academy votes for best score? Because I think that's how everything works, right? Like, the entire Academy votes on every category?
So. I think that's how it works. I know, so you do have to be, like, member of the, I don't remember what exactly it is, but only the, like, music people can vote on the short list, I think, and then on the actual nominees. And they have, like, the rule is, I think, 60% has to be original music unless it's a sequel or a franchise film where it has to be 80% original music, which, you know, makes sense.
Actually, I don't even know. I assume composers don't have their own guild, right, or anything like that? I have no idea.
no composers union. The Supreme Court ruled that film composers are not unionizable, and I don't know all the details of that. That's certainly a point of contention in the media composing business.
That's extraordinarily random.
Yeah, like, why, you know, every other person can unionize, but film composers are, like, independent contractors.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
What are the other films that were nominated?
So there was the Trial of the Chicago 7. I wish I could have seen all of them. I just didn't have time to. Judas and the Black Messiah, which I really considered watching, but I tried to squeeze it in. I just couldn't squeeze it in terms of time. I don't think Defy of Bloods was nominated, which it's a very critically acclaimed movie. So I just think people forgot what that film was, is my guess, which is why Oscar bait season is right before the nominations get made. So it's like, I think it's like fall or something like that. Yeah, because people have fish brains, apparently. I don't know.
I mean, you could just solve it by making it bi-yearly, right?
I don't. That would be kind of weird. It would probably detract from, like, the weird specialness too, of. Like,
it's just like you're just kind of screwing over everyone else, though. You know? I don't know. I don't know.
The Father, which I also had not heard of until looking at the list. I was like, huh, never heard of this thing. Which is about dementia, apparently. It has Anthony Hopkins in it, so that would be an interesting reason to watch. Minari, which also looks interesting, so would be interesting to watch. Promising Young Woman, which just I can almost guarantee you I probably won't like it from the description and from reading. Okay, I am on a platform called Letterboxd. If you want to find me on Letterboxd, just search my name or IGAROX, and you'll see all my ratings and such. I don't do many reviews, but I do ratings a lot. Letterboxd is a very extreme place in the sense of it's oftentimes the ideology just matters more than the film's merits. And people literally will say it's that kind of platform. It feels like Twitter, essentially, where people, reviews will be like, it wasn't the best, but it has this thing that I agree with, so I'm going to give it a 5. That kind of atmosphere. But even on Letterboxd, there were people who were like, this film was kind of trash in its propaganda, essentially. And also, it's like, concerning propaganda, apparently. So,
I was reading a post by the composer in the main, you know, Facebook Hollywood Composers Facebook group, and I got the sense that this is like the composer even said, you know, I got this job because my ideologies were like perfect for a perfect match for this project. I mean, I don't think you generally pick a composer because their ideology aligns with like
sign of the times, man. I don't know what to say. Yeah, it's probably won't like it. I probably won't watch it because I just have so many things I'd rather watch. I don't tend to watch things based off of when they're made to. I just watch things based off of what I want to watch. So I don't actually tend to watch like Oscar films in a batch or anything like that. I only did that for this show. So yeah, and then the last one I didn't name was Sound of Metal, which I've only seen the cover of. I've seen a lot about it. Not about it. I've seen a lot of headlines including it. But I've not seen more than the poster, which the poster looks cool. So I guess I'm interested. I don't know. but it's about metal music. So, yeah.
Well, is it like a nonfiction kind of thing? Like a documentary? Or is it like a...
No, if it was a documentary, it would be in the documentary category, which the Oscar category system is weird.
In Best Movie?
No, it's weird. I don't think typically, at least... I at least don't think that's ever happened.
Is it because it's too different, I guess, and hard to compare?
I don't know. Or? Like, honestly, is can animation win Best Picture?
I mean, is that not something that doesn't happen or something?
That doesn't happen, basically.
Are they nominated?
I can't remember one that's ever been nominated. Maybe Up was nominated? I'm not sure.
Finding Nemo or something like that?
Oh, maybe Finding Nemo. Yeah. But then it's kind of weird because it's like, do other genres get their own categories, and why or why not? Like, like it's just kind of a weird thing. I guess everyone competing for the same Best Picture award is kind of weird. And I also get it from the perspective of history, like animation when it was newer, giving it a spotlight, you know, I guess. I don't know. It's just kind of become tradition, I guess. Whatever.
The video game awards is just, there are categories, right, that... like genre categories like that, but then everything still runs for the best game. But the thing is, there's genre for everything pretty much, you know, like you can, every game is gonna have its own category almost always, except, you know, there's gonna be a few that manage to probably more experimental game that manages to not be in the category, but it's pretty much, you know, everything has a general category. Everyone's in the general race, and then there's like the specialty categories.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of controversy about the categories. There's an age-old one about sound design versus sound mixing. That is the category just called sound? I don't remember what the categories are called.
I think it's sound editing and sound mixing.
That's what it is. Yeah, sound editing and sound mixing, and. There's endless debate over whether that's an antiquated division or if it's like still necessary or whatever. The fact is they don't even show it anymore. So, I watched the In Memoriam. I actually did not know this was part of the controversies with the Oscars. I didn't know when I watched it. I just watched it and I was like, what am I watching? Like it was kind of disrespectful.
What happened?
I've heard, I haven't seen it, but I know that that's something that like every composer is complaining about. Like, you know, we need Richard Kraft to produce the Oscars, especially so he can like fix the In Memoriam, which Richard Kraft, who he is another story. But
wait, what's wrong with it?
Like, they're extremely short. Like, you can barely even read the names of the people who died. So it's a memorial for the people who have died who are. Big film names in general, and a lot of them, or not a lot of them, all of them, you could barely read their names like as they went through them, and it was like, what's the point? Like what's the point of doing it if like you're not gonna, if you're gonna be self-aggrandizing throughout this entire thing, but you can't even like give like people who died, and a lot of these people are like actually artists, like a few more seconds of runtime, of airtime, I don't even know what to say to you. Your priorities aren't in the right place. it was very strange. Also, like, right before they started playing the In Memoriam, this woman who dressed like she looked like, I don't know who she is. At least that's probably blasphemy. I'm sure I should know who she is. I'm not very good with celebrity people, I'll be honest. But she looked like she belonged on the set of The Hunger Games. Like, she, like, big, bright red dress and, like, looked very dystopian. I was like, that's an interesting look. But she right before the In Memoriam, she starts talking about, again, injecting ideology right before the In Memoriam. And I was like, I'm watching the In Memoriam, and a lot of them are people of color. A lot of them are people of color, and they're giving them no time. How does that make any sense? You are not genuine people. You're not genuine people. You are making this stuff as you go because it either benefits you or you're just that in the Kool-Aid. I don't know what else to say. Because how on earth do you not celebrate, like the pioneers? How? Like, I don't get it. But, yeah. The Oscars is dead. The way they fix this is by stop being dumb. Because they can still fix it. They can still fix it, in my opinion. First of all, it was always boring. That's why it was always losing. And TV and cable's also, like, dying. They should just live stream the whole thing. Because they would make more money that way, probably. very surprising that you can't just go watch the whole thing in post.
I think it's weird. I was about to say, like, the Video Game Awards, but I feel like, when I think of, like, do young people watch the Oscars?
They could.
Because those are the people are going to be live streaming it, you know?
The thing is, you can still have the youth. Like, people don't, I'm in marketing, so, like, I understand what the youth are doing a lot. Not maybe the youngest, but, like, you know, at least, like, the later teens, I understand how they consume stuff. I think I have a pretty good understanding. And you don't have to be, it's not because the Oscars is old, or, like, that it's not for the youth anymore, that cinema's dying like that. That's not the problem. The problem is you're not talking to them. You could have the same program and have at least some representation by the youth there. If you live streamed it, and you actually learned how to talk to them. You're just not talking to them. It's stupid. And then the format's bad to begin with, so, like, I don't know why anyone watched it, to be honest, ever. But it's just a corny, boring, slow, like, a bunch of people who are proud of themselves. I like the fact that Hollywood celebrates itself, like, on a conceptual level, but in practice, it looks disgusting. Like, it's like, if we had good people in the same setting, and it was more like an inside look on the club of artists, that would sell a lot better, I think. I wouldn't even go in that direction, but at least that would be better. But it's not even that. It's just self-righteous patting on the back of people who don't even know what they're doing in terms of their art.
Do you want to hear the difference between, I guess, the general formatting difference and whatnot between that and the Video Game Awards? And I keep calling it the Video Game Awards. It's the Game Awards. Sorry. That and the Game Awards, I think the Game Awards is a lot more modern.
Sure.
So I guess, like, the format, yeah, the pre-show, right, where you give, like, these awards that are not really, like, for a best game, like best esports team and stuff like that, kind of random stuff like that. they do that, and then during the actual show, they have the awards, and, like, you would expect, and in between, it's a lot more entertaining than the Oscars, where, you know, you get a few awards, you get some cheesy jokes, and then you watch an advertisement for 7 minutes. Instead, the only advertisements are for other games, which makes a lot of sense. They're all game trailers.
You know, they advertise Good Morning America more than films in the frickin' Oscars. You're killing yourselves. That's what's happening. It's so silly.
What happened?
Good Morning America, the morning TV show that's been around since the dawn of time. They decided to advertise that more than, like, actual films. Like,
yeah, I don't really get, like, just have all your spots, film spots, because the people who you want to watch this are the film buffs, right? Anyone even remotely, like, you know, who enjoys films. So that's your target audience. Have your ads also, not only do they make you money, they're also interesting to watch. You know, I mean, not all of them for some people, you know, like every single trailer you watch, but that's kind of your thing, you know?
You don't understand, man. ABC runs the show, so.
I think.
What is that?
ABC runs the show.
Oh, I see.
See, Nathan, I think you have it wrong, though. I think the assumption is not that people who like films are watching it. It's people. I think the assumption is that people who like the big stars want to see their favorite big stars.
I see.
Terrible.
That's kind of whack.
It's fine to be all, like, you know, it's fine to like rely also on the glamour, but that's not the reason. Like, the core reason the Oscars exist is not the glamour. No one watches the runway for people they don't care about. That's just it. Like, people remember the people who made them feel something in a theater, and that's why they want to know what they're wearing. But these people are too dense to understand that. So yeah.
I also think that the Game Awards, I tried so hard not to say Video Game Awards. The Game Awards also pays due respect to musicians. So alongside the trailers they have for games, they also have just sections of just music, of just like, we're playing music from this game. They have a live band orchestra play music temporarily.
Why don't they do that at the Oscars?
Exactly!
Yeah, the Game Awards has its own orchestra, like they, you know, like called the Game Awards Orchestra, or whatever. And then they, you know, every year.
Exactly. It's like, yeah. it's not even like outside of the traditional stuff, right? And orchestra is not like, people think, oh, orchestra, that's for old people, because they don't get it. They honestly don't understand. They don't get why people don't watch things. It goes back to why they effed up Star Wars, because they don't know why people didn't like. Each, like, whatever they didn't like in whichever films, they never understood. Like, they used the most obtuse, like they used Twitter as like a zeitgeist. Then they use like their data mining as like proof for like almost use motivated reasoning from their like data mining to justify why they ought to go in the Twitter direction, when even the data is bad. Not only is the data bad, but the data doesn't tell you what people need. It just tells you what they watch. That's two different things. These people, sorry. I get in my feels with these people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think their category selection was a lot more reasonable, as I was talking about before, how they have everything that belongs in a specialized category, at least. They also have categories that I feel contribute to the gaming world, because everyone wants to win, you know, a game award thing, just as every movie person wants to win an Oscar. So people are shooting for these things. So they have categories like accessibility category, right? That's something that's non-existent in most games, yet it has a category which pushes people like Ubisoft, which is very good at accessibility, for like to make them want to do this, to get their trophy, you know? And it's not even that hard to make a game with high accessibility. So it's like anyone, it doesn't require like great technological advancements. It's like, no, just change the colors to be friendly for colorblind people. It's that simple, stuff like that. And then the most hype part, which is the best game, is what they do is they show all, I think it's five, unless there's a tie in the nominations, in which case they can be more. So all five or so, they show all five, and they play music from each one of them, like a good like 30 seconds, and they like blend them nicely, like all in a row, they blend the songs nicely together, and then they announce it. And it's over, and it's like, wow. Oh, also, one thing they do is they stream it on Twitch, and probably YouTube, probably literally everywhere they stream it, and they let people stream it legally, like, you can stream it. They won't sue you. It's fine. And so you have YouTubers and Twitch streamers who stream it and commentate over it. And they're like, yeah, this is okay. It feels more like a celebration of the gaming industry and less of, I want you to look at this thing for money. You know, definitely it's motivated by money in some regard, obviously. It's wouldn't be able to run if it wasn't, you know. But it doesn't feel like that's purely the motivation. It feels like at least the main concern is celebrating the video games industry.
Like these are the same people who thought that making a Quibi was a good idea. The non-Monopoly producer thinking that they can just poof up a platform because Disney did it, and that must mean that people want new and inventive platforms like Quibi, and then dies and gets murdered and says, I thought I understood the youth. No, you didn't. No, you didn't at all. You don't even eat in the same places. You have no concept of what normal people actually do. Like, you just don't get it at all. You're so separated. Man, they lock up the wrong stuff. They really do. They lock up the Oscars, which is the thing that should lead people to watch movies. You don't lock that up. Not only can you make money live streaming it everywhere, you don't lock it up because it's good for all of you. You guys are so in your own heads, I'll say that instead, that you don't understand that this is more beneficial to you than you think. It's not like just about you, because you benefit. So if you open it up to everyone, you made it a big internet event, you would transform the entire thing. And it would cost you nothing, because you don't have to pay for these streaming platforms. And then on top of that, then they sell Blu-rays of Oscar movies for $5. It's just like, are you guys like understanding what you guys are doing? I watched Nomadland on Hulu. I got the free trial of Hulu to watch Nomadland. The quality of Hulu was garbage. I've never watched a movie. I was so upset for the movie because it was a pretty film, but I had already done the free membership, and YouTube only has a 480p version of the film. I feel like that's just a glitch or something like that. But you know, this is just like hyper compressed. Like, you guys focus on making that as accessible as possible to the point where you degrade the film quality. But then with your freaking award ceremony, you don't let people see it? Like, you guys are out of your minds. That's all I gotta say. Like, and it's not me being a filmmaker and feeling personal. I mean, I do feel personally about films. It's not just that, but as a marketing person, it's not impossible to convince people, or to remind people is really what it is. It's not convincing, it's reminding people why they should care about what you're doing. It's not that hard. It doesn't take a genius, but they're not doing any of it. So at this rate, they'll keep dying because the youth doesn't care. So another tirade, sorry. I'm fed up with how things are going. And I feel like because I have no control over it, I feel like if I were to have control of it, and this is not being arrogant, this is just like, I feel like it's just that obvious. I could probably turn the ship at least somewhat.
You just need to look at the video game awards, the game awards, sorry.
Just and literally copy paste.
How can I be more like them?
just do it. At least do that, because you at least should be asking yourself, how did they get 89 million people watching the video game awards? And if all you can do is look at data, that's some data at least, you know? Like,
that's a big number.
But they're just going to blame it on, like, I don't know, white people or something, and then just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, they're going to say, like, gaming is bigger than ever because of COVID, which is, okay, that's true. It's like, that's a big destruction. You got destroyed. Like, it was even close.
It's not even a competition though, right? It's not even a gaming versus film thing, which is how some executives will try to make it. That's not even it. That's not even the problem. That's not even close to the problem. They don't even understand the problem. They just don't understand art. That's literally the problem. So
yeah, I don't think anyone went, yeah, I can't watch the Oscars and watching the Game Awards, like, not at the same time. Like, I don't know, like, these are not I guess the argument is that you're competing for like people's amount of time, but people have enough time to do both. You know, gaming isn't that time consuming, because you can play it however long you want. You know?
The entertainment space, it's the most saturated it's ever been, but it's still not fully saturated. The data shows this. It's still not fully. No, just entertainment. I use the word entertainment. It's not fully saturated yet. People fill a lot of their time with garbage. They do. They fill a lot of their time with garbage because they still feel like there's something missing. and you're not giving it to them.
That's such a, like, a wow, that's such a, like, really sums up the gaming industry, at least. The amount of times I hear people say, like, I'm only playing this because it's the best kind of game of like this that there is. This is the common theme with League of Legends and Valorant. It's just the best of what it is. It's like, come on. Like, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy that no one has made something better, seemingly. And I mean, I would agree. I haven't played League of Legends. It seems uninteresting to me, personally. That's a personal thing. At least for Valorant, I'm like, there are some, like, easily fixable flaws that you could just, that, like, they're not even like, these aren't things that I think are opinion. You know, it's like, it's just a fact. It's just how it should be. I mean, I'm hesitant to say that because a lot of, you know, gaming is highly subjective in some sense. But there are certain things that are just, they just don't make any, like, they really just, no one likes this. No one likes this. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I could keep ranting, so I'm just going to stop talking.
Yeah. Well, let me continue my my analysis of the differences between the Game Awards and the Oscars. So, as well, the voting process is different. So, there's no academy, I guess. It's actually companies, sort of. Not really. I'll explain. So, there are like 95 or 85 companies, something like that, that are chosen as like game influencer / news outlet places. So like Ars Technica, GameSpot, GameRanks, etc. That will vote, or they're given a certain amount of votes based on their population of, I guess, article writers, probably. I don't think it's the population of the entire place because it'd be kind of weird if you have votes for like a janitor, having an extra janitor. That's kind of weird. But I assume it's based on like writers. And the writers are the ones, or whoever, are the ones that actually vote for what they want to be nominated. So instead of the Academy, it's just a bunch of, I guess, article writers from companies. I'm not sure how these companies are chosen. I don't know if they're by size or something like that. But that's how that is. They pick their top five choices for every category, so they don't order them. The order doesn't matter. It's just their top five. Then the Game Awards will go. They'll take all their votes and they'll add them up. And the people who got the most votes will be the top five in the five nominated people. In the case of the tie, they'll just tack on another one until, you know, if there's a three-way tie, they'll tack on two extra, etc. And they'll just tack on more. Then the nominees are voted. The winner is voted on by a combination of both the viewers and the same people. They're called the voter jury, or something like that. The voting jury, yeah. The voting jury gets 90% of the say, and then the general population gets 10% of the say. Not sure why it's done like this. The 10% seems likely to be almost meaningless, probably, or maybe not. I don't know how often these like almost ties happen. I don't really know why. I couldn't explain that. Why they decided to give the general viewer some stuff. I think it's a lot more good. Although there was some controversy, I guess. I guess there always is somehow. But there was controversy last time, the 2021, because The Last of Us Part II absolutely swept the floor with, like, they just destroyed everyone else. They got the most nominees. They got the most wins as well, which is crazy for a game that has a 5.7 out of 10 review on Metacritic by users. As a 93 by critics, though. I don't know how that happens. That's got to be by far, like...
Same thing is happening in cinema, man. The same thing. Same thing. And the thing is, they'll describe the divide as people being stupid or something. It's like, you still don't... You just don't get it. Like,
I haven't seen footage of The Last of Us 2, but from what I heard, it just seems bad. story-wise. Not the other stuff seems okay to me.
There are, like, films, obviously, and probably games, too, that where critics and people diverge because of palette differences or, like, differences in, like, how refined your taste is. That sounds pretty pompous. I don't mean it that way. But, like, you know, if you consume more, you have a finer... it's just like with culinary stuff. It's the same for all arts, really. It's like... The more you consume and consume intelligently, like analyze, the more your palate gets refined, you know? And so critics often diverge with on that respect. But lately, the divergence has grown, and it's not because of the palette differences. If you read the reviews of critics, it's not because of that, you know, at all. It's just an unfortunate symptom of the same things we've been talking about in terms of disconnect. So, yeah.
See, yeah. I don't think a palette difference is what separates a 5.7 from a 9.3. That's a bit extreme. 9.3, for reference, people don't know, on Metacritic is very, very good. That's like puts it at like Hall of Fame levels of gaming. A 5.7 is one of the worst games ever. Like, you should not touch that game. So, yeah, that's quite strange. I think I haven't played the game. I haven't seen the game. I've only heard words, and I also don't trust what people say a lot because I often just disagree. If it's a 5.7, I'm highly inclined to believe there's something wrong. And what I can tell you is for sure there was at least some whackness on part of the critics because it won Best Game Direction. The game studio is garbage. To be clear, in terms of game direction, they are known for excessively using crunch time and doing the things I said before, like last podcast episode, that harm the mental health of people. They have horrible management, yet they win Best Game Direction. That sounds like there's a problem there. And actually, I found that if you go to the Game Awards 2020 Wikipedia, and you scroll down, you'll find the part where it talks about The Last of Us 2 and some controversy due to its, quote, polarizing narrative and developer use of crunch time. And crunch time is a link, you know, like Wikipedia links to other Wikipedia articles. If you click on the crunch time link, the link goes to the Wikipedia article for a video game developer. That is horrifying. The crunch time Wikipedia is video game developer. And if you go to that, if you click on it and you scroll down, there's a section, like a whole, like, paragraphs dedicated to just crunch time. So yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty insulting that a game like The Last of Us 2 would win for Best Game Direction.
Yeah, I just looked up Mank on Rotten Tomatoes because I remember there being the same divergence. Mank has an 83% from critics, and it has a certified fresh marking, which actually doesn't even make sense to me because the audience is 59%, and which Rotten Tomatoes has like a tilted bucket, like you know, trash. And first of all, how do you get certified fresh if you have that poor of an audience score? I've never seen that before, actually, until like this year. You know, it's a new thing. And second, I mean, Mank is not a good, like, how do you get 83%? This film is like at best, like middle of the road. You know, it started off good, but like if the middle's really that bad, Those films like that don't tend to do this well on the tomato meter. It's because some people felt like they agreed with the bashing in the middle of the film, even if it was boring, which, okay, I guess. 2.5 hours. Rip me who has to edit this.
I didn't even have a topic. How'd that even happen?
Okay, so if you're hearing this, that means I did decide to split the podcast into two, and thank you for watching. If you've watched both of them, you gotta hit the subscribe button, because if you watch both halves of us just rambling on about the Oscars, clearly you like what we have to say, or at least you find us interesting. Other than that, if you go to ariella.co/mixedmedia, that link is in the description. It's also on the screen if you're watching it in the video. You'll find a place where you can follow us anywhere we are. That's Instagram. We have a Discord. Come on, come party with us on Discord. If you disagree with something that we said, guarantee that we'll read it if you put it on Discord. I mean, you don't have to pay a single thing. So join our party on Discord. If you want to get a link to our live streams as soon as they're done, that means you don't have to wait a day or two for me to edit them. You have to go to mixedmedia.locals.com. There you can join for free, and you can follow our page. The link is also in that link that I talked about earlier. Other than that, I'm really happy with the growth that we've had. We're gaining about one subscriber a day, like, you know, as of like last week, and they're organic from the videos that we're putting out, the shorts that we're putting out, which is really cool to see. So, and they're really exploding. I've kind of figured out the algorithm, I think, and also our topics are pretty engaging, I would say. So yeah, so I'm really proud of us. So with that, I think, yeah, bid you guys goodbye.
Yep. Have a good night. Thanks for listening.
Bye.